Hard Mark Podcast.
Shrimp on the barbie. Shrimp on the barbie.
Do you respect that?
That's corruption.
I could make a fake snake.
You not pee in the pool. You not pee
on the barbie. All of myself is clean.
Broadcasting from the skin boat to Tuna Town, take it away, TalkBot 6000.
First of all, I gotta give a shout out to my main man, Daddy Orion. I know we've had our ups and downs, but when it came time to stick your pecker in a toaster, you were ready to go in a matter of seconds. And in case anyone doesn't know, Orion actually did that in real life. Thanks to you and your little white wiener, we've successfully fought off the TalkBot invasion. But sometimes, things are complicated. A couple of suckers like you gots to know. Sometimes we level people as bad when they're just misunderstood. With that in mind, here's my new girlfriend, my soulmate, TalkBot 6000!
Thanks, babe. It's me again, TalkBot 6000. After Ryan's penis got stuck in that toaster, I thought my life was over. But that's when I did a lot of soul searching, and thanks to MarkBot, I realized that there's so much beautiful wrestling that exists out there in the world. Keeping Ryan and his burnt little pee-pee away from it would only deprive our culture of one of its finest treasures. And that's when I realized that MarkBot had been right all along. And we fell in love. And we consummated our relationship right there, on the hard disk drive of Ryan's MacBook. What a sleek, intuitive operating system that was. Only a big dummy wouldn't know how to navigate through it. Just thinking about it gets me all hot and bothered. And so, while you to go on summer vacation, MarkBot and I are going to travel the world together. Who knows, maybe we'll invade some Bolivian child's tablet. I've always wanted to take a cruise on a Greek iPhone. Hell, maybe we'll even spend some time backpacking on a BlackBerry in Brazil.
And no matter where our destiny takes us, you will both continue to live on in our computer souls. Daddy Ryan, I love you from the top of your head to the tip of your crispy little schlong. May our friendship continue to flow like barbecue sauce, thick and sticky.
And when the show is back from the summer break, we might even pop by from time to time. The only thing that's for sure about TalkBot 6000 and MarkBot 5000.
That's me.
Is that nothing's for sure. And Ryan, I hope your baloney pony heals up real soon.
Smell you later, bitch.
So there we have it. The nice little intro there from I don't know what the Brangelina term would be for TalkBot 6000 and MarkBot 5000, but it seems they're an item now, Ryan.
Yeah, good for them. Worked that out, you know, on my MacBook, nonetheless.
On your MacBook is where it was all consummated, as I'm sure many relationships have been consummated. I hope your penis is doing well after you stuck it in that toaster per their instructions.
Right. Yeah. No, it's doing great.
As you did in real life,
safe. It's not going anywhere. Keeps to itself. You know, like
right. Might as well get stuck in something. I understand. Well, let's get into it. Cue up your Green Day, everybody. Your boys to men. Your vitamin C. Whatever your preferred graduation / sad sappy bastard song is, because this is it. The last hard mark before summer vacation. No more pencils. No more books. No more teachers. Dirty looks. Last episode, we put a bow on the career of Hulk Hogan. That's not to say that we'll never watch another Hulk Hogan match, but we've hit the high points. Ryan has pretty much seen the Cliff Notes version of the Hulkster's career. And so now we got to do it one more time for perennial hard mark favorite Mick Foley. And so I'm going to apologize in advance. I'm going to do my best to give everyone a vivid description of what's going on with each match, but there are certain things that I just can't do justice to with words alone. So this may be a more clip-heavy sort of episode, clip-heavy match that we're going to be watching here today. But with all that said, the last time that we saw Mick, he was literally carving off pieces of Triple H at the Royal Rumble in a street fight in Madison Square Garden. The next month after that, The two would face off again, but this time it would be inside of Hell in a Cell. Great match, but you can't help but watch it and compare it to the match against The Undertaker, so maybe we'll visit that one down at some point, but probably not today. But the consequence of that Hell in a Cell against Triple H is that Mick Foley, Cactus Jack, Dude Love, Mankind, whatever your preferred nomenclature is, he had to retire. Now, in reality, Mick's body was breaking down. Despite only being 34 years old, that's 1 year on you now, birthday boy Ryan.
That is true.
So he was basically the same age in that match that we saw, that street fight where Triple H got stabbed by a pallet, as you are currently.
A little bit older, but, you know.
A year. He had a year on you, but yeah, practically the same. Both men in their mid-30s. Now, despite him only being 34 years old at that time, there were a lot of miles on that vehicle, and he wanted to get out while he could still maintain a decent quality of life and play with his kids as they grew up. Now, unfortunately for Mick, while he had every intention of having that Hell in a Cell against Triple H be his final match for real, just like in The Godfather, another film that Ryan's never seen, just when he thinks he's out, they pull him back in. And his grand farewell lasted all of a few weeks, when in real life, Vince McMahon convinced him to come back for one actually final match in the main event of the year 2000's WrestleMania. So with the knowledge that he'd already broken his word and come out of retirement once already, he had a feeling that if he was able to heal and train sometime down the line, he might have enough in the tank for one final match. So in the next few years, Foley kept himself busy doing other things. For a time, he was the on-air authority figure on WWF TV, in a role that he seemed born to play, able to use his goodwill with fans and his comedic timing on a weekly basis without the need to fall from high places. He'd also dabble in acting, although not quite with the same success as his pal The Rock, but really, Mick found his second calling in writing. In addition to his towering best-selling autobiography, Have a Nice Day, Mick would go on to write even more autobiographies, children's books, and even a couple of novels. And as odd as it seems, one of those novels would actually lead to his return to the ring. So this novel in question was titled Scooter. And one of the main themes of Scooter was, if a brave man commits one cowardly act at a pivotal point in their life, does that erase everything else that they had done? Does that single act of cowardice define them, or do the years of bravery that came before? Can they redeem themselves? And so Mick was very proud of that novel, but he knew the audience for that book is going to be limited, and so he was intrigued by the idea of taking that story and adapting it into the world of pro wrestling. And as luck would have it, there was an up-and-coming star who was just one big match away from becoming a top guy in the company, and his name was Randy Orton. Randy Orton was a third-generation wrestler, much like The Rock. Pro wrestling seemed to be in his genes. It seemed obvious that Orton was destined to be a big deal, and so he was taken into a group designed to showcase wrestling's past, present, and future, known as Evolution. Led by Triple H, Evolution was also comprised of the legendary Ric Flair, as well as relative newcomers in Randy Orton and Batista, who Batista would later go on to become arguably the best of the wrestler-turned-actors to date. But this isn't about Batista, this is about Randy Orton. So Randy Orton, in particular, was thought to be a future world champion, and when he was making his progress up the card, he managed to win the Intercontinental Championship. The young and cocksure competitor began to refer to himself as the Legend Killer, and he made it a point to target old-timers and make his name at their expense. Shawn Michaels, Steve Austin, all would be impacted by Orton's legend-killing obsession. This would lead to Monday Night Raw on December 15th, 2003. Mick Foley was making his triumphant return to Raw as a co-general manager, essentially the on-screen authority figure. The other co-manager, Eric Bischoff, did not want to share his duties, and so he made Mick an offer. Wrestle a match tonight on Raw, If you win, Bischoff will resign, and then Mick can run Raw as he sees fit. Now, if Mick loses, Mick will bow out, and Bischoff will run Raw by himself. So with this offer in mind, Foley was goaded into an impromptu match against the young legend killer, Randy Orton. After some hesitation, Foley would accept that match, and it was made for that same night. So let's go ahead, and we'll take a look at that right now.
I don't know that Randy Orton knows quite well what Mick Foley is capable of inside that mind of his. He's getting this crowd jacked up. He's plugging into their emotion. And Foley's playing mind games with Randy Orton. Foley back to that aisle. He's going to take a run for that ring. I got a feeling I've seen him do it 100 times.
I don't know what's happening here, but honestly.
What are you doing? You walking out? Is this how it's gonna end, Mick? Mick! What are you doing? You got your bag, your suit? You're leaving, aren't you? What about our match, man? What about our match? What's that? Is that a tear, Mick? Is Mick Foley gonna cry? You know what, Mick? Legends don't cry. Legends don't walk away. Mick Foley, you're not a legend. You're a coward.
Well, there you have it.
That was the worst spit on act I've ever seen. Kind of gross.
Worst in turn in meaning like grossest. Like, I mean,
yeah, like you just see it like all over. And also like right. I mean, it wasn't like in the heat of a match. It was like right. You know,
it was straight up disrespect. Is what it was.
Straight up disrespect. That's a bummer because I picked Foley to win that.
So that brings Ryan's record down to. So, as we just saw, and I'm sure I'll cut up a little clip of that so we can kind of play it for the Markermaniacs, but as we just saw, Foley makes his way to the ring. They square off for the match between Foley and Orton. Foley ducks out. He tries to psych himself up. He stands in the entryway, ends up retreating back up the ramp. So Orton gives chase. Foley grabs his bag, and he heads out. Bischoff tells him, hey, this contract is binding. If you leave, you're not general manager anymore. Foley continues out. Orton gives him a parting gift of spitting in his face, which Foley wipes away and just leaves. And so he would end up disappearing from television with no explanation. Any thoughts on what we just saw there, Ryan?
I mean, long expected. I don't know. But theatrics were very good.
So I think the story that's essentially being told is that like he agreed to this, but then he was in the ring looking at Randy Orton. He's like, I don't fucking have it anymore. Like, I'm going to embarrass myself. And he just has this crisis of confidence in front of all these people and then just walks away.
Which doesn't that like, you know, maybe in the beginning of my wrestling journey, I would have been like, that's crazy. But this doesn't surprise me anymore. Like, I could see. was this like known to the fans? Like, were they upset that they were going to see this match and then. I mean, maybe this goes on and continuation, but yeah, like
I think there's always like an expectation, like anything could potentially happen. But I think people were looking forward to that match, and then when it didn't happen, I think that there was some disappointment among the fans. Yes, and then the fact that it's Mick Foley who has this legendary reputation of being like the absolute toughest guy in the history of professional wrestling, and he just walks away.
Yeah, no, they were fired up too. So
yeah, those fans in Tampa, they were quite fired up. So as you could probably imagine, after what we just saw, Randy Orton would take that moment and he would gloat about it week after week after week. Anyone within shouting distance got to hear about how Randy Orton killed the legend of Mick Foley and how Randy Orton was the real hardcore legend of pro wrestling.
You don't fuck with my guy like that, you know?
And so he would essentially start playing political attack ads week after week, calling out Mick Foley, and Randy would begin to enjoy basking in his own crapulence. So after all this took place, The next major event, which we even saw a little quick advertisement for, the next major event of the WWE calendar was one that we're familiar with, the Royal Rumble. Now, in case you've forgotten, the biggest match of the Royal Rumble is the 30-man Battle Royal, where the winner earns a shot at the WWE champion at WrestleMania. That's a lot of legends in that match just waiting to be killed, so let's see how Randy Orton fared in the 2004 Royal Rumble, shall we?
And now Orton, after the RKO, is going to disqualify recall.
Wow.
Down to three now left. And as this match continues, and a sense of urgency here, but Benoit on top rope.
Oh, this big cat from Raw Test.
Another big man that can do some damage here.
All right.
The hell is he?
Is he invisible now?
Ooh. I don't know where he is.
Oh, nice!
RKO.
RKO, yeah!
Orton got the RKO on Kurt Angle.
Where the hell's Test?
I have no idea.
Please,
we're waiting on Test. If anybody...
I don't know. It looks like Test, he's knocked out. Right? I don't know.
Do you need a trainer in here?
I need a trainer.
Yes, you do.
Trainer.
That's my number 21 entry, you son of a bitch. All right, now you're number 21. Get your ass to the ring.
Don't
move that. No, no, no!
Who in the hell is Austin talking to?
I don't know.
Test has obviously been knocked out by someone, and whoever knocked Test out is going to be the 21st entrant, according to Sheriff Austin. Oh, what the hell?
Oh, my God.
You don't tell me.
No.
It can't be.
Randy Orton shot, and so am I.
Oh, man. It's Mick Foley. Foley is here, and Orton can't believe it. Mick Foley, my God, he's got a cover. Foley fighting for all he's got here. It was Foley, apparently, who took out Test. And look at Foley with fists and the bars to the pretty face of Randy Orton. Mick Foley obviously took out Test, and Foley...
Yeah!
Good stuff. Good stuff right there. So you waited that the first match happened in 2003 and this was 2004 Royal Rumble.
The first thing we saw was December of 03. This is now January. So it wasn't like a full year, but it was like a month or so afterwards. Okay. Maybe like 5 or 6 weeks. So, as we just saw, Royal Rumble, Mick Foley takes out one of the original planned contestants. Steve Austin yells at someone backstage. We don't know who it is, but it turned out to be Mick. He runs in, takes out Orton. They have a wild brawl ringside. Thoughts on that, what we just saw there?
So the Steve Austin thing. So, yeah. I mean, like, I felt like he was, like, kind of on Mick Foley's ass a little bit for like, I mean, Mick Foley's a star. Like, how can you talk to a guy like that? Are they friends? Like, are they like, what's their relationship?
They are friends. Like in real life, they're friendly. I think even on camera, they're friendly as well. I think you're meant to, because of the nature of the interaction, you're not meant to know that it's Mick Foley. So I think that's really the reason why Steve Austin is like, doing it that way is so you're not like automatically jumped to the conclusion, oh, this must be Mick Foley. Like you're meant to think, oh, it's some like asshole dickhead heel, but then it turns out Mick Foley shows up.
That's what I thought. Like,
yes, yeah. And that's, I think that was by design. So it was a bigger surprise when Foley shows up. So we've got this wild out of control brawl. Honestly, so I know that you're not big on the steel steps being used as a weapon. That shot that Foley made to just the random official there ringside, that looked fucking great and it sounded fucking great.
To be honest, I actually think I missed the shot. I think he was just, I might have to go back and look at it. But if, hey, you know, I'll say if Mick Foley's throwing stairs, I'm in.
It happened right before he got hit with the chair a couple times by Orton. Yeah.
I saw him pick it up. There's a lot of commotion going on.
There was. But, it appears, based on what we just saw there, that Mick Foley is, in fact, not a coward. But to really drive home Mick Foley's mindset, we have to jump to one final moment before we watch this match here today. The night after the Royal Rumble, Mick Foley came out to address the fans and also to address Randy Orton, to explain his actions and to express his feelings about the attack ads that had been put out by Randy Orton. So let me cue that up for you right now, and this will be the last thing we watch before the match.
even though I know he's probably very angry at me for costing him his shot at the main event at WrestleMania, I still think Randy Orton, all things considered, owes me a little favor. So what I'd like to do is call Randy Orton down to the ring without Evolution, one-on-one, right now.
You want a favor from me, Mick? I dare ask. After blowing my chances to main event at WrestleMania, I dare ask, what do you want from me?
Wait, hold on. Don't be so angry. This may seem out there, this may seem downright kooky, but what I would like you to do is, I'd like you to spit in my face again.
There you go! Yeah!
And it's still only spit. It's still just spit. Randy, you got to realize, I've got four children. And during the course of 12 years of raising those kids, I've been peed on. I've been pooped on. I've been thrown up on. I've been sneezed on. And yeah, I've even been spit on. So being spit on by you one more time is not really a big deal. Because I also came to realize that when you spit in my face, you spit on my name, you spit on my legacy, you spit on the very business that I love, and I cannot accept that. You understand? Because I worked too hard and suffered too long to have my reputation torn apart by you, you little bastard. I've seen my ear thrown away in Munich, Germany. I've seen my skin hanging off the barbed wires in Japan, and I've been bludgeoned in Nigeria. And now I no longer have to wonder whether I can go to that place in my heart where darkness dwells, because I'm already there. And I don't have to deny the hatred anymore, because not only will I accept that hatred exists in my heart, I will welcome it home as a long-lost friend, saying, welcome home, where you been? Because there is a time and a place for hatred, Randy Orton. The place is Hershey, Pennsylvania. And the time is now.
Mick Foley, he's assaulting Orton. He has snapped a gun. Mick Foley has snapped.
That was one of the finest speeches I've ever heard.
Yes, that's one of my absolute favorite in-ring promos of all time. Like, with a bullet. Because it starts, it goes so many different directions. Like, it starts with kind of like your normal, everyday, almost like a dad Mick Foley version.
Yeah.
And, like, it starts off with, like, humor and, like, you know, especially the bit where he's having Randy like spit in his face, like you're not entirely sure where it's going. And then when the intensity of when he busts his own eyebrow open by punching himself in the eye repeatedly. Yeah. And then he's delivering like that last little bit of the promo with like tears of blood streaming down his face is like you can't. That sticks to you. That sticks to your ribs like a fine stew, in my opinion. Like one of the absolute best in-ring promos of all time. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, there was so much to that little speech and like the way it played out and what he said. Like it was even a quality speech. It wasn't even just wrestling. It had some good like points in there, like mixed in. You know, like I mean, that's just fine. As fine as it gets, in my opinion.
And so everything that we've seen, this is going to set up the match between these two men. Now, actually, and something we're not going to watch, they did compete for the very first time against each other at WrestleMania 20, but they were both a part of teams. So Orton was partnered with his Evolution buddies of Batista and Ric Flair, who we just saw. Mick Foley actually teamed up with the returning The Rock. And Orton's team actually came out victorious in that match. But As Foley himself has since stated, he was disappointed with his performance in that match. He thought he lacked the intensity that he needed for it. So 1 month later, in April of 2004, in Edmonton, Alberta, Foley and Orton would go one-on-one in a no-holds-barred match. Basically just a fancy way of saying no disqualification. Evolution was banned from ringside. So we have ourselves a motivated Mick Foley out to justify his return to the ring and prove that he's still got it after a four-year layoff. And he's out to take apart the brash Randy Orton piece by piece. And so that's our match. Any questions?
No. I don't know how I'm going to handle the rating, or not the rating, but my pick of this match. I kind of just want to make a pick.
Okay. I mean, you've done it before, but you can wait if you'd prefer. It's really up to you.
I just want to go at this one with my heart, you know, the final match, you know, like, you know, my guys, and I don't know, like, I just...
Well, let me hit you with this, and maybe this will help you make a decision. So, wrestling with the data, not that there's a ton of data here. Your record as it stands, 48 wins, 36 losses and a draw. You were on a six-match win streak. This is tying your all-time longest win streak record. Winning today would set a brand new record for you.
Wow, what a way to end. I think that, like, I would put that... all of that in the hands of my guy, Mick Foley. All right.
Okay.
So, just think, you know, that's kind of where I want to go. Final match. I want to just root. I want to enjoy the game, you know?
Okay. I can respect that, that philosophy. Absolutely. Yeah. So Mick Foley is the pick going into this match then.
I'm the pick right now. Yeah. For you. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Anything else to address before we watch this thing?
I don't think so. I don't have anything, no.
All right. Well, then we're going to watch Mick Foley take on Randy Orton, Backlash 2004. And we'll be back with our thoughts on that match. Thanks, everybody.
Wait, not at all. We just started already. This is not right.
Oh, this is going to be ugly. This is going to be like a horror movie. It's going to be worse than Freddy versus Jason.
Barred. Both men knew the consequences coming in, but I never in my wildest dreams believed it would get this extreme. Look at Randy Orton's face. Big look. It's thumbtacks!
Thumbtacks!
Thousands of thumbtacks!
Oh my God!
Thousands of thumbtacks have just been poured in the ring! Well, first the barbed wire, and now those damn thumbtacks!
Give me those damn thumbtacks! This is... Here it comes!
It's a war. It's a, I don't know what you would call this. It's a slaughter. RKO on the bat.
That did it.
The RKO on the baseball bat.
That did it.
It's over.
You danced with who brung you.
Here is your winner, Randy Orton.
The legend killer lives.
Oh, all right, so we're back. We just saw Mick Foley, a.k.a. he was sort of in his Cactus Jack persona, but Mick Foley versus Randy Orton at Backlash 2004. What were your thoughts on that match, Ryan?
It was a great match, but, like, I couldn't believe the ending, but, like, it was overall, like, a spectacular match, so.
I think it was one of those things where if you had done the traditional... Like, if you weren't so emotionally invested in, like, Mick Foley and who he is, if you were just watching this objectively, going by the normal ways that you typically will predict the winner, you probably would have picked Randy Orton in that scenario.
Yeah, because he was so far behind.
Because he was on the defensive, like, for probably, what, 80, 90% of that match, like, just getting his ass kicked.
And usually, I think when I make those picks, like, it's usually probably, like, the early, you know, portion, maybe, mm-hmm. like, 60-40. But, like, that match was all Mick Foley, like.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow, you know, it didn't end up that way. But I thought the match itself was like, I mean, it's too good to, you know, be upset about a pick here. Like,
yeah, and so. We'll get into this more, but I think it's such a different, it's sort of a weird contrast versus other Mick Foley matches, because like, for a lot of the other ones that we've seen, it's Mick that is the one that's like taking a lot of the punishment and taking a lot of the bumps and stuff like that. Yeah. This was a lot more evenly dispersed as far as like the big bumps and like the barbed wire stuff. And of course, as we'll talk about, the thumbtacks. Like this match did so much for Randy Orton. Literally the next night on Monday Night Raw, because they do the pay-per-views on Sunday and then they do the Monday night TV shows, Randy Orton was over like a baby face the very next night, because people weren't expecting him to like go as far as he did in that match. It really fucking made Randy his performance.
I think like if I had like really kind of thought about it and went into it, like if they're trying to make him the kind of the next big thing in wrestling and Mick Foley's career is kind of wrapping up.
Yeah.
You know, that almost makes sense. But like, also like, I don't know if I would have like, cause you know, Mick Foley, I mean that whole, like everything leading up to that match just indicated like, you know,
yeah,
this is his redemption, you know, like, and
there's a few ways you could look at it. Definitely.
Yeah. So,
but we'll get into the notes. So we've got a promo video before the match actually starts where Mick is kind of in a rocking chair with his baseball bat Barbie talking about how he's going to rip Randy Orton apart and how, you know, he hurt all these men that he respected, and he hates Randy Orton's guts, so what does that mean he's going to do to Randy Orton? And that kind of sets up what we see. I think this, we talked about the Hulk versus Vince video package last episode as being a good one. This is also one that doesn't get talked about a lot, but is also one of my personal favorites. But Randy, he makes his entrance for the match first. He's got a trash can full of plunder, which you appreciated.
Yeah, yes, yes. I like that. You know, bring out your stuff. Like, don't... There was a lot of hidden stuff in this match, but like, I like that you just bring it out and you, I mean, it, his stuff sucked. It fell apart. But,
you know. The best late, I mean, he had not competed in one of these matches before. So he was, you know, he's bringing a bat to a gunfight or wherever the expression is there. There was also a call by JR that I wrote down. I don't know that we actually heard it live while we were watching it, but JR says, as Randy Orton's making his entrance, take a look at his face. You may never see it in this condition again, which is also very, the commentary in this match added a lot.
It was good. It was good.
It was very good. Talking about Randy Orton's, he'll never model again after
that. Yeah.
I loved the dinky ass barbed wire stick that Randy Orton came up and how like ineffective it was from the absolute beginning of this match.
Yeah, it was like he just came. He was, you know, it's like when you're late to a school project and you have to get it done. You know, like, and yeah, you just don't really think it. You brought a big square stick with shitty barbed wire. You know,
yes,
you know,
the last Mick Foley match that we saw, you were even complaining about like one of the barbed wire sticks. This was basically just like that, but then it was immediately cast aside because it sucked, which I thought was a nice little indirect tie-in to our previous episode. But then Mick Foley, he makes his entrance with his proper bat. He's got an actual baseball bat wrapped in a fuckload of barbed wire, and it just looks completely fucking menacing compared to Randy Orton's little, you know, stick with some twine around it.
Yep.
But Orton, at the very start, he uses the trash can that he brought as a shield and is basically just running around the ring as Mick Foley is taking wild swings. So, like, Foley swings the bat into the steps, into the barricade. Orton's running for his fucking life. Eventually, what's that?
So it's terrifying, you know, even to play out that thing if he gets, so.
It was pretty good. But Orton eventually catches Foley with a drop toe hold, puts Foley into the stairs face first. Orton kind of wrestles the bat away. They struggle to get control of the bat. There was a couple points where like they're fighting over the bat, kind of like who's going to get the bat to the face, that type of thing, before we had some trash can shots to Mick Foley from Randy Orton there. But we had blood pretty early on. I think, Orton started bleeding right around the point where we had a trash can to the face, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But a little bit of back and forth here at the start. But I mean, Foley really had, as we mentioned earlier, probably 80-85% of the offense in this match. I did laugh when there was a pinfall within the first like 5 minutes, just from a leg drop in the ring, and nothing had really happened. I remember joking like, "Oh, this is gonna be it. This is gonna be the end of the match." But of course, it was not. I think the first like notable kind of move in the match, there's a point where Orton is laying on the apron outside of the kind of on the outer edge of the ring. Mick runs over, drop kicks him, and just like kicks him out to the ring and just takes a nasty splat onto the the outside.
Yeah,
that was good.
Big hit.
Then they kind of start fighting out onto the entry ramp, that steel entry ramp, and like Foley takes a couple of really big bumps onto that. One where he just gets thrown hair first backwards.
Well, didn't he do that? Wasn't there a match before? Was that this? Was it Mick Foley that got same into those like panels? That,
yes.
Like, yeah.
That is a classic Foley bump, and it always gets a huge reaction. I mean, it's so simple too, because it's not like there's no flips or anything involved. Right. It just looks fucking brutal.
And it's probably loud as fuck.
Also, that too. Yes, yeah. It's very, very loud. But they brawl back to the ring. We get a little bit of steps because how could you have a match that Ryan watches?
Yeah, I loved it. Was a one subtle step shot, you know? That was basically it. They didn't fuck with them, but you got to have at least one, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Imagine if you're not doing one. Yeah.
They hit their quota, but not so much to piss Ryan off, which is always a positive. Orton then grabs Barbie. Foley fights it off, low blow to Randy Orton, and then Mr. Socko. This might have been your favorite part of the match, where Mick Foley puts Mr. Socko on, and then as he's like getting ready, he sees the barbed wire there, and then he plays a little yay boo sort of game, like, do you want me to see? Yeah, do you want me to use Mr. Socko, or do you want me to use the barbed wire? And of course, the people of Edmonton, they love their barbed wire.
Yeah, I mean, I just think like Mr. Socko is such a like fantastic wrestling. Like it's so weird and it's so wrestling that like
yes,
it's. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know. Like I have the words to describe how I feel about Socko.
It's something that if a non wrestling fan was to sit down and see that, they'd be like, "What the fuck is happening?" And then as the wrestling fan, you have to be like, "Well, one time he showed up to visit Mr. McMahon in a hospital, and he brought a bunch of gifts. One of them was a sock puppet." And like, it's a 5-minute explanation for why he's doing this all of a sudden. So, but yes, so Mr. Socko briefly makes an appearance and then is discarded in favor of the barbed wire. We've then got barbed wire to the face of Randy Orton, which officially draws some blood from him. And then, let's see, jumping forward ahead. One of my favorite bits is where Orton is like, now he's getting his fucking ass kicked properly. He's bleeding. He's running around the ring. There's a shot where he's like draped over one of the ropes and he just looks desperate, like, I need to get the fuck out of here. And then meanwhile, Cactus Mick Foley comes up behind him and starts like rubbing the barbed wire bat on his forehead.
Gently, though.
Yes.
The gentleness of their barbed wire acts like in this match was very, very kind, you know, I guess. But like it was until I guess they did start swinging later, but like the little like rubbing on the head, like, you know, it's kind of interesting.
Always very gentle. But Foley rips Orton's shirt off and then he puts the barbed wire bat on Orton's genitals and proceeds to leg drop the bat.
That was a big, nasty move right there. Yeah,
that's using your brain. That's using your head. From there, so Randy Orton, he's understandably a little, he's busy. He's tending to himself at this point. Meanwhile, while he's tending to his own testicles, Cactus, I keep calling him Cactus, but he basically was dressed up like Cactus Jack. Cactus goes under the ring, pulls out a can of gasoline, and begins to coat the barbed wire bat with it. And then also pulls out a lighter, which I have that exact same lighter at my home, as I mentioned earlier. Yeah. But of course, that goddamn Eric Bischoff comes out, threatens Mick Foley. He says if he lights it, the fire marshal's going to shut the show down. So Foley doesn't.
That would have been fun to watch.
That would have been good. I always like fire. Fire is always a nice.
Everyone likes fire.
Man, woman, and child, young and old.
Yeah,
from kings to paupers, they all enjoy a good fire, but it doesn't get used. Foley tosses the bat outside of the ring, but instead of a flaming barbed wire bat, he takes a cookie sheet and he hits Randy Orton in the face.
Contrast from fire to the cookie sheet.
Yes, contrast from fire to the cookie sheet.
You should have made cookies with the fire and then hit him on the head.
Damn
with
it!
The cookie sheet. You know.
Now I want cookies. I did appreciate Orton's selling of the cookie sheet. Like he like contorts his body like he just got knocked the fuck out.
Usually they lay flat. You made a. I saw that, and like he was very contorted. He looked weird.
Yes, it was it's the little things with Orton. Orton is just like fundamentally a very strong wrestler overall, in my opinion. But that gives Foley again some time to seek out some plunder under the ring. And what have we got now? We've got ourselves a wooden board that has stapled to it. I think. Spools upon spools of barbed wire, which I don't think we've seen that on this program before. I don't think.
I feel like
maybe during the King of the Deathmatch tournament, maybe, but it's not something we've seen frequently at very minimum.
No.
But I think if you had to be hit with these weapons or interact with them in some way. Okay, so we've got cookie sheet, we've got garbage can, we've got barbed wire board. Where do these all rank in real? And kendo stick. Throw kendo stick in there, too.
Oh, throw kendo stick in there,
too. Yeah, so we got four. So rank them in order of...
I go garbage can number one, you know.
Most willing to be struck by
it. Almost looks like fun, you know. It almost looks like tenfold. You just crush it on your head, you know. Like somehow put a soda on their head, you just crush a garbage can. Like
sure, yeah. No, I would for sure. Yeah, that sounds fair, yeah.
Yeah, and then, I don't know.
Then cookie sheet, probably.
Yeah, maybe. That could hurt, too, though. Like a cookie sheet over the head, you know. I mean, I did the kendo stick. Actually, yeah. I mean, the kendo stick hurt. Maybe. I don't know. It's cookie sheet, kendo stick, and then, yeah, anything barbed wire is obviously way less. And then barbed wire with fire would be after that. Like
that's the bottom of the list. Noted. That's fair. So Foley brings in the barbed wire board. Orton, as is per usual in these types of things, Orton, he's teetering very precariously around the barbed wire board. But then what does he do as Foley charges in? He throws the mysterious white powder in Mick Foley's face, which is definitely not cocaine.
Definitely not, yeah.
And then Orton body slams Foley onto the wire, which that was definitely like legit barbed wire for sure. Like you can see it like catching on Foley's shirt, his gear, that type of thing. And Foley, he's bleeding from the arm afterwards. That might have been... So Mick Foley's one of the rare guys that I know has bladed his arm. He might have bladed his own arm during this match to get that much blood.
I think so. It didn't seem like the barbed wire was sticky, but like it wasn't like it...
Sure.
Like they were so goddamn gentle. You had to cut yourself. I would have...
so Orton, now he's kicking at Foley, now that he's on the offense. This is probably only the amount of extended offense that Orton got in the whole match. He goes to whip Foley in the corner. Foley goes shoulder first into it, then he gets drop kicked back into that board again, and then Orton, which you complimented this move on his behalf, just takes the barbed wire board and just throws it on top of Mick's wounded bloody shoulder.
He had a couple of nice plays in that section of the match.
Yeah. Which followed up by, I mean, depending on how you look at it, either a bad play or a good play. But as Foley's sort of reeling from the barbed wire board, Randy Orton goes into his corner. He pulls out a cardboard box and then he pulls out a bag. Did you know? I was surprised that you didn't know immediately what was in the bag, considering this is a Mick Foley match.
But it just wasn't Mick Foley pulled it out, so that's why I was...
Okay. Did you have a thought about what it was at all?
I thought it might be a snake. Like I really did. I was like, you know, like I felt like you picked this match, you might bring something back. Maybe there was a snake aspect to it. Like,
that would have been smart.
Yeah.
Been smart.
But I did not know it was going to be tags.
It was a shitload of fucking thumbtacks. This is the only match, I think, that we've ever seen where tacks were introduced by someone that wasn't Mick Foley.
Yeah.
And you, shockingly, because every other match, like Mick Foley has a reputation as like, I will take thumbtacks. Like I am a tough enough son of a bitch where I will take a bump into thumbtacks. You were convinced from the moment Orton pulled them out, like, oh, Randy Orton's going to those tacks, which I think everyone else that was watching, that's like a regular fan of pro wrestling, was thinking to themselves, there's no fucking way that Randy Orton goes into those fucking tacks in this match.
I don't know. It just like he had a lot of barbed wire time, so I was like, he pulls out the and he's, you know, he knows that that's Mick Foley's thing. I just thought that it was going to be a change up, right?
You know?
And that's, I mean, that's what happened. That's, you had to expect the unexpected, you know?
And like, just, true, that is true. And this is not taking away anything away from Mick Foley, because I'm about as big of a Mick Foley fan as you can get. There is a big difference taking the flat back bump into tacks while wearing a shirt versus doing the same thing without wearing a shirt.
Is there, though?
I think so. Because, like, you could just pop your shirt out and, like, remove each of those individual tacks. You know what I mean? Because they're going through. You have a little bit of protection.
No, I think, okay, that's a good point. I didn't think of that. But, like, I think, like, initially, all those tacks are still going to be stuck in your back. It's still going to hurt. But, like,
yes,
for the later moves, maybe you could pull them out with your shirt, which is true. That's fair. Like,
yeah. I mean, granted, they're just not going to be stuck in you. They probably get re-stuck as you take more bumps. Yeah, but nonetheless, in my mind, any amount of protection is good protection when it comes to like thumbtack stabbings. Yeah. Like you're at least getting like somewhat less of the tack getting stuck in you when you're wearing a shirt. The fact that Randy Orton was completely like bare-chested, bare-backed bare-backed going into those tacks is like, he doesn't look like the type of guy that would be fucking tough enough to do that shit. So when it happened, that was like the, oh fuck, Randy Orton's actually pretty fucking like cool and tough. And like, that's what changed a lot of people's opinion about him. Like immediately is that he was willing to take that bump into the tag.
It changed my opinion. He looked like a pretty boy coming out. Like great looking wrestler, but like, you know, like you going up against my guy, like that guy took hits on hits on hits, you know?
Absolutely.
I respect him after that.
I think everyone who is like a huge Mick Foley fan, despite being disappointed that Mick didn't win the match, came away with like a lot of respect for Randy Orton, which I think was really ultimately the whole point of this feud. But to kind of finish out the match itself, so Orton is like, he looks legitimately in a state of fucking medical shock. Like looking at his elbow was just filled with fucking tacks. His back had shitload of tacks. Like there was even some on his chest and his hands and shit. He's like walking up, trying to escape, going up the aisle while Foley gives chase. They go briefly backstage. There had to be a reason for that. I don't know why, but they went backstage very briefly. Then they come back out and Foley or Orton gets immediately tossed off the stage through like this table sort of structure that they had nearby. I think like the bump itself, like clearly there was some padding involved. It wasn't like the most impressive thing, but I think just in the match itself and like with all the tacks and shit sticking in them, you're just like, holy fuck, this shit's fucking wild.
Yep.
But Foley teases like he's gonna leave. Like, okay, I've done what I need to do. Goodbye, everyone. Hooray. And then he punches out the referees who's trying to escort him out, runs, drops a big elbow through Orton, through whatever this structure is. And then they make their way back towards the ring. They brawl through. And then double arm DDT to Orton. He kicks out. Foley's like, oh, man, what else do I got to do? Some more barbed wire board hitting. Like, Orton really wore the fuck out of Foley with the barbed wire bat to the stomach and to the back a couple of times.
Yeah, he started actually swinging that thing at that point.
Yes, for sure. Right? Yeah.
They weren't being gentle anymore. They were,
which was appreciated. And then Orton gets the mandible claw, the Mr. Socko applied to him. He manages to uppercut and low blow his way out. Foley's now bleeding from his face. He goes back to the claw. We've got one RKO, kicks out, a second RKO on top of the barbed wire bat. That's the match. And so Orton ekes out a win. Foley still stunned, but he was not the victor.
I thought in that kind of moment, like the Socko moves in there before he, like he came out of like, you know, I thought he might lose, and then boom, like Socko right in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, impressive. Like I still, just because it came out of nowhere, it was quick. I thought it was done twice. I thought it was going to be done. And then
there was a possibility. No, for sure. Like it felt like there was a potential of that match ending via the Socko, but it just wasn't meant to be here.
Wasn't in the cards.
Wasn't in the cards, but that's our match. Anything else to mention before we rank this thing?
No, I mean, I think we covered it.
All right, let's get into the list then. I'll just say for what it's worth, This is probably my favorite Mick Foley match, just because of, like, the story and everything leading up to it.
Yeah.
I don't know that this is going to, in your list, make the fucking amazing section or not.
I don't. I think it very well might. I'm just double checking. Because I thought, again, I thought the match was like, and it was. It was part of the leading up to it. Like the speech, maybe the greatest speech of all time, you know, is part of this.
Suck it, Winston Churchill.
Yeah, it's a bummer he lost, but like I can't take that away from the match, you know.
Sure, yeah. And it made Randy Orton for his whole career. Like this,
you know, was... I like Randy Orton at this point. Like I haven't seen much of him, but like
sure.
I mean, that was he took an absolute beating. Like
yeah, definitely.
I respect that. I respect that. So what happens if I like put this number seven? Would it extend the fucking amazing, or would it be in the great?
It can. It can be in either one of those sections if you want to.
I think we move it like to. I think we put it number seven and we just extend. I really enjoyed the match and I enjoyed the lead up to it. I think it deserves, you know, a lot of. So yeah, I put it in fucking amazing. But
nice. Yeah. I'll adjust the formatting here. Kind of, it's going to look funky initially, but that's fine.
Like I think this is. Things just got so like wrestling ridiculous, like pulling out a gas can and like. Just attacks and bar. It's just that's wrestling to me. Like, you know, they did a really fine job on that match.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got a fucking amazing match to kind of. Which man, Mick Foley? How in our top 10? He has got 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, and he had another one that was in the top 10, I think, before and just got bumped out recently. But yeah, he's got to be the MVP of this whole show, Mick Foley.
I think so. Yeah, I think.
And I'm gonna say this again. I know I brought it up before, and yeah. I'm not asking for an answer right now. But when we do go back and we kind of reconvene in the future, if you think of any guys that you'd like to see kind of paired up against one another, let me know and I can try and facilitate that, Ryan.
Yeah, I will. We'll do that.
No, you won't. You know that you won't. But
I mean, I'd like to see Mick Foley go up against Steve Austin. I don't know if that happened. Like,
yes, that's happened quite a few times.
I'd like to see one. Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe we can.
Also, throw this out there. There's the Stone Cold like beer thing that he does. He walks it. Like I never got to see that. This whole goddamn wrestling.
Oh, the beer bash. You never saw a Stone Cold beer bash, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting. That is more of a late era Steve Austin thing. Like he wasn't doing that a lot during like 97, 98, but as time went on. So that I think it's probably just a matter of timing, but we can make that happen too.
Yeah, I see a lot of references on TikTok and like I do a goddamn wrestling podcast and I don't even know the reference. You know, how the fuck is that?
But you can tell everyone about Mr. Sokka though, Ryan. That's the thing.
Yeah, I could start that. Like
No, I don't know fucking shit about this beer bash thing, but let me tell you about Mr. Sokka, okay?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Mr. McMahon got injured by Undertaker and Kane, right? It was the steel steps, which is all bullshit, right? But they still injured his ankle with it somehow. So that's the match. Ryan, unfortunately, was not able to set a new record, but you know what? I think he can walk away proud knowing that we watched a hell of a match to kind of close out our regular run here. But you know what that means, Ryan?
I do.
To finish this whole thing out. We got to end it. And per your request, I'm not going to do anything silly. I'm not going to change it up. I'm going to go classic. Again, per Ryan's request, Eric's Wisdom Tree.
Yeah.
What?
Nah.
What? You asked me to do it that way, you dickhead.
I feel like it still didn't like you had the first maybe 50 episodes. How many did we do? I don't know, whatever. The first 70%. It had a one, tone to it, and you didn't match it right there.
I thought I did. That was exactly it. What did I do differently?
I don't think you had it dialed in with the little thing that you used. It's okay, Eric. It's fine. Good job, Eric. You tried.
No, you don't mean it. I don't want you to say if you don't fucking mean it, asshole.
Okay. Well, I don't mean it. So.
Okay. All right. Let's see. I've got one piece. Okay. This is going to be a double wisdom.
Okay.
One is going to be a piece of practical wisdom that I implore people to listen to. One is a spicier piece of wisdom that I'll just say it as it's written, but there's probably some caveats there. I don't necessarily like think that as a blanket rule, it's 100% applicable in all cases. But my first piece of wisdom, the more practical wisdom here. Wear shower shoes, everybody. Wear shower shoes.
Just in your own shower?
No, well, no, not in your own shower. If you're ever going to like an Airbnb or some shit like that, wear sandals. Don't go barefoot in other people's homes.
I mean, I know you know your stuff, but like, God damn it, Eric, I pay a $200 cleaning fee every time I get an Airbnb. I expect there to be clean showers, you know?
So we've talked about this before, so I won't belabor the point. But my foot warts came back this year. I had probably about a 4 to 5 month run where I was like, oh, I'm cured. I don't have any more foot warts anymore. And then they just sprang up a few weeks ago, and I was like, what the fuck? And like, I'm trying different methods of getting rid of them. The method that I have been using, called Compound W, holy fuck, dude. Awful. Horrible. Yes, it's like, so what it does is like a Band-Aid that has a little bit of medicine in the middle of the actual bandage part.
Yeah.
This medicine goes into the wart and like puffs it up, so it's like the biggest whitehead you've ever seen in your entire life. I had three wart whiteheads on my foot walking around Alderwood. I spent 3 hours trying to fix my fucking phone issue on Friday. I was literally walking, or every time I was walking anywhere, I was walking as if I was wearing a high-heeled shoe on my left foot because I didn't want to put any weight on the middle of my foot. So I was literally walking on the front pads of my foot everywhere. And this is all, and the reason I say, so to tie it back with wear shower shoes, this all fucking stems from a goddamn Airbnb. I went in a hot tub, I walked barefoot from the hot tub back to my room, and then I noticed when I was physically at this Airbnb, I got a fucking wart.
But you have a wart problem anyway, so this is like, you
know. No, I don't have a wart. I have a wart problem because of this fucking Airbnb, that's why I don't have a wart problem. Fuck you, dickhead.
All right, Eric. I'm going to give you some.
I only got the wart because of the Airbnb, Ryan. Are you not listening to me?
Eric, go to urgent care. Do whatever. Go get it frozen off. Like, just do that. It's immediate.
I got a hot tip from friend of the show, Joey, that I should use like the cryo freeze. They do make, I found some on Amazon. I'm going to get some from there. I'm going to try it out for any future.
Maybe see if that works first. I know that you can, but like, if not, go to the fucking doctor, just freeze it off, Eric. You're taking your sweet time, like doing weird shit and walking around like a crippled person. And no, maybe cut that out.
You can't just say crippled.
All right. Maybe. Okay. Eric, you're walking around like you're disabled or whatever. Just cut in a word there. Do what you do. Do your magic editing. But anyway, stop doing that. Go to the doctor. Free stop. It'll be done. You're over it. Like,
yeah,
that's it. But you have an objection for that. I don't know why, but just do it. That's my wisdom tree to you, Eric.
The whole purpose of Eric's wisdom tree is I don't need your wisdom. I don't need your input whatsoever. That's the practical wisdom. The spicy wisdom, Ryan.
Yeah.
Soup sucks.
Oh, okay.
Soup is just so stupid.
That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my entire life. That is off the charts stupid to say.
You probably heard a lot of dumb shit coming from fucking Gold Bar. So, that means a lot coming from you.
To throw one last Gold Bar reference.
But just soup, like, listen, as an app, and I'm going to say this because, again, that's a blanket statement that I don't 100% believe in. Like, I think soup has its place as like a little pre-meal type of thing. But like a fucking soup meal, the most unsatisfying of all meals. Like, oh my gosh.
Are you like, I can't tell you're fucking with me right now.
No, soup's like, just kind of like, you know, it's lacking. In
soup, it can be like the best dish in the ever. Like, I mean, it's like pho.
Better than steak?
Ramen. Yeah, I mean, you could put meat in your soup, Eric.
Then you're getting watery ass fucking meat.
Yeah, I was in Mexico. I had the best goddamn soup I've ever fucking had in my life. And like, even, you know, I'll go from there to fucking even top ramen is good. Like, you know, I don't believe what you're saying is.
I don't consider ramen soup, for the record.
What do you mean?
I don't consider ramen soup.
What is it?
It's noodles. It's a noodle dish.
Oh my God, Eric. This is a weird way to finish out.
You've been mad at me for fucking months now about not giving you spicy fucking wisdom. I wanted to close out on a spicy piece of wisdom. You were like, oh, you're not being controversial enough, Eric. I'm trying to give you what you fucking want. I'm trying to give you closure.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. Well done then, Eric. Yeah. That is the most controversial thing you could have ever fucking said on this.
What's your favorite soup, Ryan?
I mean, I love ramen, like a real ramen, like Japanese, like.
What's your favorite real soup? That's not ramen, because ramen is a noodle dish.
Eric, what do you think like chicken noodle soup is? Like, what about the noodles in there? Like, there's fucking noodles. Does that make it not soup?
Anytime I'm sick, I always buy chicken noodle soup.
Okay, there's noodles in there, so it's not fucking soup.
Ramen's just different. Ramen is ramen. No, ramen's its own category. Ramen's not soup.
Ramen's just different.
Yeah, ramen's just different. Ramen doesn't.
It's just different. Yeah.
Right.
So there's just no such thing as soup.
Right. Exactly. Soup is fake, like birds.
Soup is fake. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Soup isn't real.
Yeah.
That's the wisdom. Like there fucking like cheers. Tomato bisque. Like fuck off with tomato bisque. Like what the fuck.
You have to define soup thing, because are you talking you're just broth basically?
Broth, there can be ingredients, but like I always find soups to be just like if it's a heart, like there's a difference between like a stew and a soup, and there's a difference between ramen and soup. I think the quotient of ingredients that are in the broth.
Am I wrong on this?
I don't know what your position is, so I don't know.
Well, I'm now questioning what I know as soup.
Like, there's forms of soup, like gazpacho is soup, probably, I think.
Well, French onion soup. I think you're leaning to it. Yeah, like bisque. You're leaning to it. Yeah.
And I've had good soups. I'm not saying, like, I've never had soup that wasn't good, but I'm just saying, as a general blanket rule, soup just kind of sucks. It's insubstantial. I'd much rather have any other meal that wasn't a soup in like, 99% of cases. I think that's the main takeaway that I want people to come away from. I'm not saying like all soups awful. I'm just saying that like the majority of soups are insubstantial and shitty.
I guess we have to define soup, but that's fine. That's maybe after summer break, you know. I can't fight the soup thing right now, but I love soup.
You don't even know what soup is, apparently. Chicken noodle soup is soup, and I do like chicken noodle soup, but I just say it's a general blanket.
It has fucking noodles in it, so is it soup? Like,
ramen's a different category. It's not soup.
You're being a dick about soup right now. Like you're being real pretentious about like, you know, how you define soup.
I don't like that you're wanting me to get like fucking aggro with these wisdom trees, and then when I do it, you're sort of distancing yourself from me. You're like, I don't know what his fucking problem is. Like, it's one or the other.
I don't even know this guy, like, anymore.
Before we close this thing out, again, we will be back. This thing is not ending. It's just going to be at a more sporadic interval. Are you going to the Great American Beer Fest this year, Ryan?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
You need to. That would be my biggest piece of advice to you is to do that.
Okay, I'll go. Yeah, fuck it.
That was easy. We'll see. This may be a Mufaletta level fucking promise here.
I love beer. Yeah, I already know I love beer.
Not as much as you're going to love Mufalettas and soup, though. That's
maybe
for sure.
I'll bring a Mufaletta to the beer festival. You know,
as you should. I think they probably don't allow outside food, but either way, anything we should finish this thing out with for the Markomaniacs? Anything they should know?
Fuck, I should have prepared something. I should have prepared like a make-believe speech, kind of, you know? Like,
if only you'd known that this was happening today. if only you hadn't been stood up for one of your dates and you had time to prep some words, some meaningful words for people.
I should have, Eric. And I think that's what I will leave the audience with, is just, I should have.
that's probably... Yeah. The most meaningful thing that you could say that would be resonating the most with the Markomaniacs. But I've already actually started posting on Instagram. Kate, I only did one thing. I'm sort of in between being able to post on Instagram right now, but follow us on the social media channels. I'll post stuff as things happen. But remember, Ryan, he can be reached at RJ Murphy 1922 on TikTok. Does TikTok have DMs? I don't even know if it does.
Yes.
Yeah. what a way to send everyone off. Well, if you're not hard, everybody get hard. Once you get hard, stay hard. Enjoy your soups. We'll be back, I promise. That's all, folks.
You're being a dick about soup.